The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, good.
And what's happening in the world there, macro? We'll get into a couple of stocks in a bit, but anything sticking out to you macro-wise?
Well, the Americans about to start receiving their stimulus checks.
That's
$1,400 each.
I saw that.
I can't imagine the UK giving us that sort of stimulus check.
Do you know what, John? I tweeted this morning. I got some people saying, "Yes, but what about inflation?" I said, "Go big or go home." $1.9 trillion dollar stimulus bill. This is $1,400 for most Americans. It's probably more than the 1% pay rise offered to NHS staff over here. If you really want to get the economy on its feet again, take note, Rishi and Boris. I got a couple of people whinging about it, but do you know what? I think that's why, you know, business in America is always better and more entrepreneurial, more innovative than over here, because they got balls. You know, they go for it. And over here, we're a bit conservative. We think, oh, hang on, it's a big bill coming up at the end. Just go for it. What they understand, if you don't stimulate the economy, the government won't get any tax receipts. They invest in the economy. They have to really, you know, pedal to the metal, you know, really go for it. You have one life.
Well, the Americans are going for it, and I must admit, I was shocked, as were many others, at the 1% pay increases for NHS staff, and particularly the nurses, who frankly should have their pay doubled. We really need to be training more of our own people. And making the money go round in our own economy. This has been a failing within the UK for many years. But the fact is that the West is recovering from the coronavirus. Economic numbers are looking pretty good. We are going to see some high inflation numbers on a year-on-year basis, and probably on a month-on-month basis as well. But they are going to reflect more the deflation of last year that we saw as we plunged into the coronavirus lockdowns, and I think that'll be a sort of temporary phenomenon. Although we are looking for higher than normal inflation rates going forwards, because it's difficult for policymakers to tread a fine line. I think, as you say, go big is the way to go, and that's the, you know, it's much better to be sure of creating a strong economic recovery than risk perhaps slipping back into something more anemic.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, do you know what? Talking about big plans, you'll probably like this. I'm watching a documentary on the BBC. It's a three-parter. It's called China, A New World Order. And it's quite worrying, actually, how silently while the world has been focused on like North Korea or Middle East, all that, solidly the Chinese have been growing this massive economy and doing things they shouldn't be doing, trying to make inroads into other economies with their belt and road strategy. And it's very worrying, even down to, you know, these correctional camps where people have been taken away, not seen, kids taken off parents. It is worrying. It's worth watching. And it's almost at a stage now where these smaller companies have been given loans, for Sri Lanka as an example, given loans by China, and they have to really take them because to help them out. And then they're sort of in a debt sort of trap, and China ends up owning their ports and their airports and all that stuff. And it's quite worrying because you think they are big now. If someone doesn't make a stand now, then it'll be very ugly down the road when they are super powerful and they are bigger than anyone else in the world by far, and we haven't got the leverage to stop them. It will take the rest of the world against China to stop them doing what they want to do. I just think it's a bit worrying, really. It's this thin end of the wedge, you know?
Well, we were writing about this in our morning notes this morning, that China is looking to reset the relationship with the US. And of course, Joe Biden has been talking to Chinese leaders for 10, 20 years because of he's been involved with the White House for a long, long time. But of course, there are significant topics that still need to be addressed. Technology theft, copyright, hacking attacks, tariffs imposed by the Chinese, as well as trade restrictions that they have against every other country in the world, pretty much. Then let's not forget the pollution and the climate change issues, plus highways, 5G, and the potential for spying. And, you know, all that's before we even get on to issues around Iran, Myanmar, North Korea, the standoff with India, the Chinese encroachment on the new islands in the South Chinese Seas. There's so much that needs to be addressed and so much that the Chinese need to give way on in order to become, shall we say, in order to equalize with the rest of the world. Yeah. So, look, I don't think it's going to stop growth. I mean, the Chinese said they're setting a new lower GDP growth target, but what they're really doing is saying, well, the growth is going to be the number's going to be more realistic. If you look at what Capital Economics say on a fairly regular basis, Chinese growth hasn't been running at 6%. It's been running at about 3.5%. It just depends on how you add up the numbers and how you formulate those statistics. So I don't think China is intending on slowing down at all. I think it's going to carry on growing, and it is firmly set on trying to become the biggest and the best economy in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's fair enough, but it's not fair when they start to take over the South China Seas and tell everyone else what to do. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, the Americans aren't complete angels either, but I think we trust the devil we know rather than the Chinese people that we don't so well know.
Yeah. No. Do you know what? It's the way of doing it. The silence and basically, I mean, there was a part in there about the documentary. You should watch about Australia, but the corruption there and they push back on them. And one of the guys said this highlighted how they're acting, not just with us, with all countries. And it's quite worrying, sort of bribing and sort of pay their way into these systems, you know. And one of these guys said, the trouble is, you know, if you, and even our ex-foreign minister, Jeremy Hunt, I think it was, and he said, the trouble is, if you don't, we talk to them about Hong Kong, we talk to them about these correction camps, and they make it clear to you, essentially, if you know, question us on this, then we'll cut you off. We will not give you access to the higher ministers who can do trade deals with you. And so you've got to say, well, it's either you stop creating jobs, you know, for your own country, or and you question them on their human rights, or you just get on with it and take their money. What do you do? And it's got to come to a stage where, you know, you've got to stand up for it. And people are scared to, because, of course, now these contracts are worth millions and billions. So what do you do? You know, do you cut off, do you stop that, you know, money flow into your own country and stand on principle, or just go with it?
Diplomacy suggests that that everyone's going to try and work with it, but persuade the Chinese to be better global citizens. And I think Joe Biden is a good man for this, because he is a consummate diplomat, and I'm sure he's got a strong team around him with Kamala Harris and co. Look, nobody wants the world to collapse. It's a sensitive time economically, and I think it's important to work with these guys and persuade them as well that we can. But I'm quite sure the US is still going to be tough when it comes to withdrawing tariffs. So we, in many respects, whilst the rhetoric that came out of Trump was horrible, what he did was set up the Chinese, or set up the Americans, so that there are tariffs that they can now look at withdrawing if the Chinese agree and actually stop doing some of the bad things that they're doing. And I think, you know, the theft of technology, ignoring copyrights, and also, you know, issues like that are really important. Yeah. But at the same time, we want to carry on working with these guys, because it's important from an economic perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but they are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's worrying. You know, when you say there will be a time, you know, when they'll be so big that you won't have a say with them. You know, they'll just say, well, either deal with us. Or, I mean, it's like that now. Either deal with us as it is, or we don't deal with you. Anyway, okay, let's get on to some individual companies. We had some requests last week, John, and somebody said they forgot to request Orosur Mining, OMI. We'll look at that. But you've also got some others. Let's go alphabetical. Go on.
Before we go on to the company, go on. I think it's worth saying that we do feel we're in the spring of a super cycle. We feel that, you know, the sort of global economy is still taking off again. It you know, the wheels took off from the runway not long ago. We hit with copper prices well over $9,000 a ton. We bounced back onto the runway, but we've now taken off again. And so we see the major miners doing very well today. Copper prices back over $9,000 a ton. Nickel prices up as well. So the electric vehicle market is good. And we do feel that the recovery is intact. Sure, there is going to be a little bit of negative news flow on the Chinese pulling back on some of their stimulus, and even the Federal Reserve pulling back on some of the emergency liquidity that they were pumping into markets. But I still think the general direction is very positive from a stimulus perspective. So we've just come off a conference call with Kodal Minerals. We were discussing their Bagumi lithium project there, and they tell us that lithium prices or spot cargoes are trading for spot cargoes trading for over $700 a ton in some cases. So that's not that; those are spot prices, and we know the Chinese like to buy stuff on spot. It's the way they prefer to work rather than long term contracts. But it looks like that market is strong with new demand coming through. And really from new battery manufacturers that are starting up and expanding the existing factories. So that's very important. And I think they tell us they are having ongoing discussions with a whole range of different groups. In fact, some new groups seem to be expressing an interest as well. So it sounds like that project, that lithium project in Mali, is beginning to take, shall we say, a stronger form, and looks like it's got better prospects for development going forward, so quite encouraged by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More stuff. That's COD. You talked about Blue Rock. What's happening there? Blue Rock Diamonds.
Yeah, Blue Rock had a conference call on Monday. Again, really, really interesting. They very heavy rains in December and January. In fact, they had a few days where everything stopped, all the mining, all the road transport in the region stopped in the northern Cape of South Africa, just because the rains flooded everything. It's put back their plans for the redevelopment of the Karivali diamond mine. Very good diamond prices being received in January and February, so the market has recovered. The jewelers are back in into the market buying diamonds, and the cutters and polishers are buying the rough diamonds. So good recovery in the market there for local prices. So that's nice to see. And the management team, they've got the new cone crusher installed, and they're commissioning that. And the rest of the new processing plant is going to be commissioned by the end of May. So they're still producing off the old plant. That's good. They do expect production to rise significantly through the second half, which is what we're really waiting to see. And I think we're going to see great value coming out of this company going forward. So I'm personally very very bullish on what they're doing. And I think Mike Houston's doing a great job.
Marvellous. Okay, John, so that's that. What about Orosur, OMI?
Orosur, yes. Look, news out in February, at the end of February, on very high gold intersections out of their Anza gold project in Colombia, and this is being funded by their joint venture partner. And it looks really good, actually. And there's also some polymetallic mineralization. So they saw 6 grams a ton of gold over 22 meters. And then 5 grams over 12 meters. That's nice. And then on the polymetallic side of things, they saw 6.5% of zinc over 20 meters. They're pretty good intersections. So from an exploration perspective, that's looking quite exciting. So, yes, definitely worth keeping an eye on Orosur.
More stuff. Anything else, John, worth talking about?
Look, I think that's it for now. The market's... Well, the market is looking encouraging. It's interesting. There's a pullback in Blue Jay today. Not sure what that's about. I think that's a very that their ilmenite titanium mineral sands project in Greenland, I think, is strong. I'm confident that they're going to get the money in to finance that. They had the US Exim Bank offering them $208 million by way of a letter of interest, an LOI. There's a certain amount of work that one has to do to firm up a letter of interest like that. But I was talking to a guy at the IFC, the International Finance Corporation, which is the financing arm of the World Bank, last week. And, you know, so much is done, you know, just in preparation. In order to do that letter of intent by the Exim Bank, I suspect that they've made that an in-principle decision that they want to finance the project and the mining company. And the rest of the work really is just done to ensure that everything is right to make sure that the financing goes through successfully. So 90% of the work is done in advance, and then the rest of it all comes along behind. And what I always find very interesting for the Blue Jay project is it is in direct line of sight of the American air base in Greenland. So, okay, it's about 50 kilometers away, but you can actually see that. And the last thing the Americans would want would be a Chinese company coming in and financing and developing that project. So it's no surprise to me, particularly following Donald Trump saying that he wanted to buy Greenland, that the Americans are coming in to finance this. And they've already offered to finance Ironbark at a 1.46% interest rate. They have a project slightly further to the north in Greenland. So for me, it just makes perfect sense that the Americans are going to want to be very significant in the development of this project. And why not? This is a cheaper way of, shall we say, buying influence in Greenland.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous. Excellent. You've been to Greenland, John, haven't you?
I spent nearly 2 weeks up there with Blue Jay, and I have to say, it's the most fantastic place in the world I've ever had to visit. It's spectacular in its scenery. The air is unbelievably fresh and clear. It's stunningly beautiful, and it's just amazingly interesting to visit.
Yeah, more stuff. Cool, John, thanks for that, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.